Compliance Activity Plan. And Raleigh has the floor.
Morning.
Good morning.
I'll direct you to page 11 and 12 of the in your agenda packet for item number 10. And just to recap from some of the 2017 projects, we are two of the employer audits will be presented following this item on the agenda. And then there's one more, which is we're just wrapping up now, which is for the Superior Court. So the preliminary report will be available for the Audit Committee's meeting in February. So that will complete the 2017 employer audit cycle. During 2017, Compliance worked with the Member Services Department, Accounting, and so forth on the Pension Administration audit review. We assisted in the preparation of the RFP for that, and that will work into the subledger decommissioning plan once ICON completes its work and presents its final report. Also, some additional internal controls activities that we looked at, looking at the accounting supporting work for some of the reports out for 2833 GASB 72. We had done some preliminary work on that. Also, on the investment department side, we worked and facilitated the implementation, development and implementation of investment procedures that supports the new portfolio. So the investment staff and the CIO and the CEO have the employer supervisory structures in place to support that activity. And then we looked at some of the other internal controls and reporting and monitoring that's ongoing. We started a project to do an inventory of all of our logs that all the departments are using, and looking for efficiencies that not only are they capturing the information that we need to capture to report out on, but they're current, and then also how we can actually augment them and have better reporting metrics or augmented reporting metrics across all the departments. So that was an important thing that we're doing. And then also collaborating interdepartments as well to make sure that everybody's on the same page. For 2018, the employer audits that we'll be looking at, look at page 12. We're going to be looking at some of the very similar things that we did in 2017. On page 14, you'll see the list of the employer audits that we'll be engaging on. There'll be seven this year. So using the experience that we used this past year and the previous audits that I conducted over the last few years, I now feel confident that we've got some procedures and processes in place. We've had some good first look at how the employers are reporting information to us. We're developing some tools and have developed some tools that will be able to take on additional capacity to actually complete all the employer audits across the entire participating districts in the county by 2022. This audit cycle, we're going to be looking at seven employer audits. Two of them are actually fairly critical that we want to take a close look at, and that's the Department of Information Technology and the Auditor Controller's Office, because they do all the reporting to us through the front end for our pension contribution and payroll. So we want to step into their process as well, and also do the routine items, which include timekeeping, payroll reporting, pensionable compensation reporting, all the items that we want to have included in the scope of the employer audits. Any questions or items or comments on that?
I just wanted to add that this plan was recently presented to the audit committee as well. And you may remember that we started doing employer audits back in 2014. Mm-hmm. And we're looking at doing second rounds. You know, all of these folks will get an initial employer audit, and then, you know, after a certain period of time, we've started doing second rounds.
Right.
So we can follow up on the initial work done and make sure that everything is still maintaining and in good shape.
Is this part of like a standard procedure, or all 1937 Act soon? Is CalPERS doing it? Is the independent San Francisco, San Jose type ones doing it?
To a large extent, most of the 37 acts are doing it, have a employer audit program. CalPERS actually has been doing it since the late 80s, early 90s. So they had routinely gone out and audited their participating agencies. Most of the 37 acts, even previous to this, we did have authority to actually go out and look at and analyze and perform some audit work on the employers. What happened under PEPRA is that was actually strengthened. We were given a more robust mandate, a clear mandate to actually go out and do that. When I came on board in 2013, that was one of the first things that we looked at, is how to ramp up. And I'd actually conferred with CalPERS. LaSera had been doing it to some extent for some time, and using their experience and leveraging that, that's how we developed our program here at Contra Costa.
I was wondering, are you collaborating with others to find best practices?
Yes, and in fact, just yesterday I was at Alameda. We were conferring on this actual thing, compliance. Actually, a number of different topics, but one of the items was employer audits.
Good. Yeah. Like it.
And then for internal control review projects, as I mentioned, we're developing some additional tools. We have a software package called IDEA. It's an analytical platform, so we can actually leverage that to make our work a little bit more efficient, but also to augment some of our reporting, so we can actually assist Gail and the other managers in generating good reports that they can use that are useful, timely, and informative. And then two things that are on our docket for additional control activities. For the accounting department, to support the investment department, the deliverables that they have on an annual basis, we'll be working to facilitate procedure development for the investment department reporting over this next year. So that'll be one of the larger ones.
A question on page 14, Raleigh, could you touch on the last bullet on the first item? It talks about one of the areas of interest would be member felony forfeiture employer notification review.
Right.
Something tells me that this protocol doesn't exist. And are we in a position, I shouldn't assume anything. It's possible that you'll find that every one of the employers either has some very inexact system or no system whatsoever. So are we going to be in a position to perhaps offer a template that they can follow, that you need to let us know the following things, the following timetable, you have to monitor this? This one looks like it's pretty amorphous to me.
Yeah, on an annual basis, actually, we've been sending out a template on what the requirement is to notify the retirement system if a situation exists or a member is found to be convicted of a felony, that notification needs to be made. So there has been an outward communication on an annual basis on that. As far as the number of reports coming in and what that looks like internally in each of the employers, we don't have a good idea, and that's why we actually ask and look at what their process is. First, it's the awareness, and then what their internal trending and tracking is. So if there is an event that may lead up to that, are they preparing documentation to support that notification back to us within the time periods? Right now, with the few that we have received, given the size of the county, we might wonder, is there more that we're unaware of? And that's one of the purposes of the test and the audit, is actually to see that the employer is aware that they do have a procedure in place that supports that reporting.
Well, have you considered asking for a report each year, even though there were no felonies? That is confirming zero.
That's something that we did, and I've considered as well, to go along with the notification that we send out, the annual notice of the requirement, but it's also a no report report, so it's something that we would have to track internally that came out. It recorded nothing, I didn't see how constructive that would be other than having a report that says there was nothing to report, so...
And some of the ones that this board obviously hears about, and that's probably true of some of the employers, is it finally hits the front pages.
Right.
That can't be the only test. You know, it's sort of like we don't alert everyone saying why don't we ask him about Mr. Gomez? You know, I'm making up that name, but you know, because we noticed he's on the front page today. That seems inexact to me.
Yeah, and I think to a certain extent, you know, to have even internal staff to do those types of reviews, media reviews, I think we're starting to own part of the process that the employer actually is required to notify us. So I think that with the continual engagement that we have with the employer through the internal employer audit process, you're noting that this needs to exist and reaffirming what the requirement is, because it's really their requirement to notify us. So to actually dedicate our internal resources to do a poll, to go out and do that. I think as part of the audit process, we would consider taking a look at if we see a fact pattern from some member where they had an internal investigation that they shared with us, and it had rolled up, and then they didn't notify us. Well, then we would go about just confirming what, invalidating what they're telling us at that point.
And then the last item on this is it had to do with memory serves. We're not interested, or do we have a responsibility to take any possible action on every felony that person may be guilty of or plead guilty to?
Yeah. Well, I think that as far as how, once it's reported to us with the process here, we confer with counsel to see what the appropriate course and recommendation to the board would be. I know that if a fact pattern through the employer audit that we found that, for instance, an event had occurred 15 years ago, under the statute and the notification process, there could be an impact on that individual's pension contributions and so forth and membership. We'd have to take that on a case-by-case basis and what that looks like and walk them through that process.
So this one just really invites the idea of kind of fleshing it out and seeing what we're interested in seeing when.
Right.
Thank you.
Yeah, I think it all starts with making sure the employer has a clear understanding that they need to notify us when one of their employees, one of the members, has been convicted of a felony offense during the conduct of their employment with that firm, and it was while they're executing their duties.
Yeah, I guess that gets to my point. I mean, I'm not justifying this, but if a person is convicted, for instance, of a domestic violence incident of some sort in their home on the weekend when they were not on duty, that doesn't make the cut. That's what I'm saying. So we don't want the employers saying, and incidentally, you should know that this happened too.
Right. There's it's very clear in not only the notification but the communication that we've prepared what's covered.
Okay.
And it needs to be job related during the execution of their duties.
Right.
For that employer. Could there be events that we're not aware of be brought into that fact pattern? It depend on what the offense was, what the conviction was, and how that was connected to their employment.
Right. Okay. Thank you.
To your point, like in law enforcement, we could get fired for unwork-related things where this would not pertain.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, so I'm just saying, you know, somehow our filter doesn't need to be that fine.
Exactly.
And theirs shouldn't be either. I wouldn't want them,
You're right.
And along with the annual notification, it's also in our employer handbook, too.
And there's a notification template, so they can actually just walk through, and it has the required elements for the notification.
Thank you.
Anything else for Raleigh on this item? Okay, this was a presentation only, so no motion is needed.
Thanks, Raleigh.
Item 11, presentation of Contra Costa County Health Service Department. Fund-